Lord, we're so thankful for everyone that is here. Every single person that's here. And Lord, they're not here by accident. They're not here by chance. Lord, they're here because they made a decision, and they're here because some of them have been prayed in here. Some of them have been prayed as a result of intercessors and Friday night crowds and other individuals at home praying that the Lord would continue to fill this place with those in the hearts. Lives of people need to be changed. All of us need to be changed. So, Father, we thank you and we praise you for everyone that is here. And everyone is precious, so vitally precious to you. There's not one that's any less than. I don't care who's in here sitting feeling unworthy, less. Lord, they are so loved of you. So loved of you. And so loved by those who know how to love and those who've accepted your unconditional love. And we love you. Lord, how can we, or how can I? I'll just pray out loud, talk to you, and they can listen. How could I not love or love less anyone in this building when you washed my sins away? You washed them away, Jesus. You forgave a debt that was irreconcilable. There was no way. And Lord, I thank you that if you forgave me, then Lord, I can walk in forgiveness all the days of my life. And I thank you for that great big ocean of your love that we live and swim in. And Lord, it's just so full of love. That's where we live. It's where we live. No one could ever take so much out of it that we could not continue to walk in your love, feel your love from you, and then Lord, the love that comes from us to one another. We give you all the praise and glory. Hallelujah. We appreciate his presence. We appreciate all of you being here. We appreciate just that presence, just that. It wasn't words, but that song, you know, the melody and the presence. You might want to try this. You may not want to try it. I can tell you something, and then you can try it on one of your good days. You don't want to try it on your bad day. You know, they got this thing called, this is real simple, you know, everybody knows this. You got this dipstick that you can pull out of cars. Then you can tell how much oil's in there. You get another one, you can tell how much transmission fluid's in there. You got a little tank you can look at and see how much brake fluid's in there. You can kind of tell how much dominion you have over your flesh by how long can you sit? Now, don't answer this. How long can you sit privately? Now, I'm going to take the word away from you for a minute, because the word really occupies your mind, and that's good. I'm not taking the word away from you. I'm just taking the word away from you on this example. And I'm going to take away speaking in tongues, because you can speak in tongues and your mind can be someplace else. So, man, you're just taking everything away from me. How long can you sit and say, I love you, I worship you, I praise you, I love you, Jesus, without having to get up? Now, this is, you're trying to rebuke us for going to the bathroom. Oh, no, I'm not. But how long can you privately or in church without having to get up and do something. Go check on something. Go get a drink of water. Go get a cup of coffee. Go. If somebody was monitoring you, thank God there's not. And there's no, pastor, listen. I'm just teaching you something, okay? We say, give me some word on it. I got a whole bunch of word on it. It's not any one particular. I'm just talking about how dead your flesh is. You say, well, how dead is my flesh? I don't know. And this is not, you don't get an A, B, C, or D on this. You get to answer this privately. Let's say when we're worshiping, are you a wiggle worm? Do you need to go get something? Do you need to, now if your kidneys are running, you need, but like, even at home, how long, and there's no, you don't get an A if you can go 30 minutes or 45 or an hour. But whatever time that you devote, how pure can that be without you checking the internet? I'm going to check this right now, and then I'll come back and I'll put in another 5 minutes. How pure from start to finish, whether that's 30 minutes or an hour, can you go without having to get up and do something? Because here's the thing. That's your flesh. It's the part of you that has not died enough to let the Spirit, and I'm not talking about the big Spirit, the big capital H. I'm talking about your human spirit is not developed a dominion over the flesh enough to where that, because the flesh is always active. Always wants to integrate. It always wants to hold hands with the Spirit. Come on, Spirit. No, the Spirit, starts you out, and I'm gonna sit here for 30 minutes or an hour and just worship God. You'll find out. I got to get up. I got to scratch here and scratch there. I got to go to the bathroom. I got to check my cell phone. We live in a society now, nobody's ever in the moment. I'm preaching at me. Sometimes Candy goes, what are you doing? These things, we ought to have been born with them. Now, listen, if you're reading the Bible in here, that's fine. I read a lot of my teaching now is off my iPad. That's fine. But nowadays, and I got to watch it early because I start earlier in the mornings, way before daylight. And there's a couple of things I will check, But here's the thing. If you don't watch it, you pray 5 minutes and check on something. Or pray 5 minutes and I got to go to the bathroom. Come back 5 minutes. I worship you. I got to go get me a cup of coffee. Come back. Oh, I got to go get some water. Wait a minute. Oh, you know what? I better go do that before I forget about it. And you know what? You'll swear that you just prayed an hour. How's your prayer life? Oh, man, I put in 2 hours today. Fist bump, man. And God is like, it's so full of mixture. You know what? I'll tell you what. I can't speak for him, but I'm thinking he'd think like this. I'd rather you just pull the goal way down. Don't shoot for 2 hours or even an hour. Give me 30 minutes of unadulterated. I mean pure. And you never can really totally get rid of the flesh, because even while you're going, I love you, I worship you, there's always something sometimes that'll aggravate you. It's like one of those little chihuahuas. It's not a pit bull. It can't really eat you. But it aggravates you. But I can tell you what, the soul is pretty amazing. because I found this out. I have not arrived. Don't be looking at me and saying, "Boy, I'd like to be like him." I'm not arrived. I can just tell you through experience. If you do it enough, and you just keep saying no, 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 and you might have to go no Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You might have to go no for 30 days and pull that goal down. If you have to, go from 2 hours to 1 hour, keep pulling it down until you get it pure. Just get it pure. If it's 15 minutes of pure, doing nothing else but in Him. Your soul, which is that part that aggravates you and wants to go do something, I got to get another cup of coffee, I got to check my email, your soul, if you teach it after a while, it'll be, David said it, my soul is as a weaned child. It has become quiet and still. After a while, I don't know what it is. I think it's a combination between the Holy Ghost and just the psychology of the human mind, just the way we're made. After a while, it'll get where it will leave you alone for that 30 minutes, or it'll leave you alone for that hour. It'll be like, he won't talk to me during this time. She won't talk to me. So I might as well just leave him alone. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I started to say, I'm not sure where that came from, but I am. It'll develop you spiritually. And it'll help you to know, too, if you're like, what you doing? I don't know. I'm waiting for worship to get over. Your flesh, just flesh. Because then somebody's going to start talking, and that helps occupy your mind. Worship is your spirit. I just wonder. And then I could really, 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 really get in the flesh here by saying, if you somehow skip by late practice. Now, Homer thought he almost had to apologize. I don't really know why he did. But if some, and I'm just saying this for your good. I don't need your money. I need you. I love you. If somehow you're just week after week after week coming in right after the worship, what is that, Pastor? It's part called learned habits. It's just learned. But the other thing is, your flesh, whether you know it, it's like subconscious. Your flesh is keeping you from that time of worship. Because if your spirit was in dominance, it would say, I cannot wait to get to that first 30 to 45 minutes. You say, man, I didn't come to church for all this. Yes, you did. Because we're not playing church. In fact, I don't know why we even call this. This is a training center. It is a church and a training center. We're trying to train us, all of us. And listen, why do you think I can talk so good on this stuff? Because I have battles with my own flesh. Tremendous battles. And then I'm learning, if I get far enough along in a particular battle of beating the flesh back, he'll let me say something. While I'm in it, I got to be quiet. Is there any stuff you need to be quiet about? I just need to be quiet. Some of you caught that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So bring your goals down. Bring them down, slide that thing down, and slide purity up. Okay, I've been wanting to pray for 2 or 3 hours a day. Just no. Slide that thing down and bring purity of just concentration up. Okay, and undevoted, just totally good. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Let's look at I just want to read these verses to you. Homer's not mad. Got to go to the restroom. He heard it raining outside. Now, all of you heard it raining? If water makes you want to go, I'm drinking some water. Okay. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto thee, Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before thee, that thou mightest war a good warfare. Everybody say good warfare. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Well, we're not going to get into that. These two guys, Hymenaeus and Alexander, were teaching something contrary to sound doctrine. And Paul had the authority. He walked pure enough that he could just turn them over to Satan. And the good thing was about it, they were turned over into the hands of Satan, but it was for their salvation. That's the good thing. Any of you that ever think that you are in a place where you say, well, I think I'll turn them over to Satan, leave that alone. Unless you're walking where Paul walked, you need to leave that alone, because that may come back and bite you. And you may get bit by that. Okay? Just leave it alone. So he said, I commit this charge unto Timothy according to the prophecies. This is what we're trying to concentrate on. The prophecies that went before thee. Paul could have said to Timothy, based on the present speaking of the Lord, what I have spoke to you, or what other ministers in my present, in our team, have spoken to you. Now, prophecy should be absolutely founded on the Word of God, okay? So there is a preface, or there's a foundation for prophecy. Let them prophesy according to their faith. Faith is based on the Word of God. But in conjunction to that, if it is the Word of God, and it's not contrary to the Word of God, and it's given by a proven prophet or a person that you know, well, I'm going to leave that out. I'm going to leave that out. Scratch that part. If it comes and there you know that it's a witness, you have a witness, because listen, if you need to know who gave it for you to sign off on it and say that's real prophecy, that's wrong. That's out of order. You should be able to listen to a prophecy or a word having no... See, some of these you'll know because you heard them when I gave them or somebody else, and you trust me as pastor, and that's wonderful. But you should walk into a place where... it really is not important for you to know exactly, it may be in some cases, for you to be able to listen to it, read it, and judge it, because prophecy should be judged. It should be, you should judge it. And even when I'm giving a prophecy, or someone else is giving a prophecy, you should judge it, and you judge it according to the Word of God and the Spirit. But Paul said to Timothy, okay, prophecies went before you, present day speaking. So if they are present day speaking, then they're based on the Word of God. So there is an order there. The Word of God judges all things. But in their equality, if they are judged on the Word of God and by the Spirit of God, then there's equality in this. They're just exactly from the Lord, just like what these guys that wrote out of the canon. They're just as much from the same Holy Ghost. It's not like, okay, well, so it's there. It's, if once you judge it and you say, okay, yes, I know it's from the Lord, So it came from the same Holy Ghost. So from that perspective, absolutely same equality. So Paul said to Timothy, look, you receive present day speaking, not just the canon of Scripture. What Timothy had at that time, he would have had all of what we call the 39 books of the Old Testament that would have been available to him. He would have had, maybe at the time of this writing, he may have had some writings of previous epistles that Paul had written. The Gospels came out many years after Christ's resurrection and ascension. But Timothy, what specifically, he was talking to Timothy about those personal prophecies and personal words, or maybe corporate words, to the church that Timothy was pastoring. So he said, Paul was saying, hold on to these and use them that you could war a good warfare. Okay? A good warfare. So we want to war a good warfare, do we not? Amen. So I probably should have gone ahead. Go ahead and pass out some of those. I hope we've got it. Look on with somebody if you have to. One per home, if somebody can sit in the middle, and we may not have enough for everybody this morning. If we don't, I apologize. We'll get one to you later on in the week, or maybe not this week, because this is a short week for all of us. Hallelujah. There may be rain, but cold front is coming. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So it's going to feel good tomorrow. Amen. I like it. I like it a lot. Are we okay? Did we get most of everybody covered? Okay, good. Thank you, Jesus. And at 6 o'clock tonight, there will be a young adults meeting here. And we appreciate everything that's going on with them and everything that's going on through Homer and Rosie. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we just read that particular scripture. Now, look on with me. Do you have prophecies starting November 8th? Okay. Okay. And the first one we have entitled, Conform You to the Image. And I want to say a personal thank you to Candy, my wife. She, like all of you that are doing something at this present time, is volunteering all of her time. And she spends a lot of time, and I appreciate it. I appreciate the time that she spends to get these things typed up or copied and pasted and or whatever, and put in a manuscript and then provide it for all of us. So thank you very much, Candy. Conform you to the image. Conform you to the image. So this came out in November 8th. This is mostly this month. Now, I took up the prophecies that were on the back table, and that was in September, and maybe, yeah, I think it was all mostly in September. And we'll put those back out after service. If you have not availed yourself to those, pick those up. If we need to get more, we'll get more, because I hope that after we spend a little bit of time this morning that you find a real value in what goes on around here. See, there are already miraculous things going on. There already are. We are not yet. Everybody say yet. Not yet. Yet is a big word for us. That Y-E-T, it's a big word for us, because we're not yet there, but we are going to be there. And we are there. We already are there in one sense, as in Christ said it's done, and we're living in that place in our spirit, and that's going to materialize to the yet place. But already there is a, thank God for the soundness of word that comes out of here. Myself, Homer, other people. We'll have Jim Martin here. Jim and Kathy Martin will be here February the 21st. And we just enjoy their teaching so much. We're looking forward to them being here. But that is a supernatural, that is a wonderful thing that's going on supernaturally around here. Also, we're getting word of the Lord. We're getting prophetic messages. Not just those prophetic messages, but the messages that I teach or Homer teaches or anybody else that does any teaching We don't just come up with, like, I don't sit at home and say, see, what or what would be a good subject to teach? You know, I pray and I seek the Lord and I worship and I try to fill myself with the Word of God and I say, God, what is it that you want to get across? What is it? And then the Holy Spirit starts speaking to me, just like the Jezebel message on Wednesday nights. Those have been, man, those have been great, haven't they? And we have had fun. And it's been spiritual. It's been wonderful. And so I appreciate all my Jezebel crowd that's here today. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we want to look at these and keep in mind this. Why are we hearing these things? Does the Holy Spirit just want to say you to go away and say, oh, I've got a pastor that can prophesy? And, you know, because, now again, this is not demeaning other churches. Do you know how many churches in America that you will go to on a Sunday morning? Now, we don't every Sunday morning or every service. But a couple weeks ago, we had, you know, prophecies taking place by me and other people. But do you know how many churches that you go through to where that you'll actually hear tongues and interpretation or prophetic word? I don't know. I don't know what that statistic would be. It'd probably be one in hundreds, one in thousands maybe. I mean, I don't know. You hardly ever go to a big church where you hear it. So I just pray to God when we're running 10,000, I just know we're just going to keep speaking the word, keep praying in tongues, keep giving messages, because it's all gifts of the Spirit. Hallelujah. So we're recognizing this. What we want to do is we want to honor God. We want to honor the person of the Holy Ghost of God, who is God, who is actually bringing these, because you need them and I need them. And then we want to keep in mind, okay, see, if we steward these things, then he'll give us more. If you just think, oh, okay, you know what, I can't even remember last month or last year. I mean, it was good for the moment. If it was just good for the moment, why did he do it? Because if you can't get it and use it, he wants us to take a handle to these things and say, I'm going to beat the devil down with them, or I'm going to beat my flesh down with them, or I'm going to edify my spirit or cause change to take place. So this is the warfare that he was saying to Timothy. Take the prophecy that I gave you, Timothy, and use it. Now, how do you use it? Now, that's what we're going to talk about in just a moment as we give an example. But we're going to read the first one here together. You just look at it, and I'll read along. Now, this was spoken on November 8th, a couple of Sundays ago, and it says, do not play around anymore. Do not play around with sin anymore. These are the days to cross the field. Do not play around with indifferences anymore. These are the days to drop your indifferences and to cross the field, saith the Spirit of grace. Now, I'm going to put my finger right there and start talking in just a moment. I happen to have an advantage here in this particular prophecy, which we normally don't always have, because I was the vessel being used. And I can tell you what I saw. And if you were here, then you were part of a little exhortation, a prayer exhortation, prior to that, because I believe that is the Sunday where the Lord really touched my heart, and I was weeping because I was touched by what I was seeing. I wasn't seeing an outward vision. I'm not going to make you go, wow, what was he seeing? Did the room disappear? No, but I saw an inward vision of myself, and I was describing to you that I was standing like in a field. It was early in the morning. The fire, the smoke from the fires, and it was like standing there as if I was standing alone with David about to cross the field, and just what his anticipation or what might have been in the hearts of thousands of Israelites that were there. And it was like the Holy Spirit was saying, okay, you're looking across the field at the sun coming up, the fog is clearing, and this grotesque, mammoth-looking creature, this big, ominous, being fearful-looking creature comes across, and he's standing, and he's barking out, and you can't even hear exactly what he's saying, but it just sends shockwaves of fear. And I was describing that, and then I think it was right after the Lord gave this particular prophecy, and it was, the Lord said, cross the field, engage, go after it. So one of the things that I would say this, now the Lord may teach you more about how to use your prophecies. These are given to all of us. Take these home with you. Put them in a folder or keep them close to your nightstand or do something, because there's something in one of these or there's something in all of these that could apply to you specifically and personally that the Lord could use as a wielded two-edged sword. The Word says, and taken to you in Ephesians 6, and taken to you the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That word is not logos, that word is rhema, which means the present tense wielding of. It would be like a prophetic word or a word spoken directly to you or something that you latch hold and say, man, that was for me. I got that one. All those other prophecies, they were all of God. I know that. But woo-wee, there was something in that one that just grabbed me and just, I mean to tell you, boy, I'm telling you, that's my sword of the Spirit right now. I'm just wielding that. And speak that to your flesh if you have to. Speak that to the devil until it just, you know, it just feels like you just wear that sword out. That's how you war with the prophecies. God, you said this. Okay. And having explained that, I'll start back. I saw the Goliath. The Lord said, cross the field. Do not play around anymore. Do not play around with sin anymore. These are the days to cross the field. Do not play around with indifferences anymore. These are the days to drop your indifferences and cross the field, saith the Spirit of grace. Is it not my purpose, saith the Spirit of grace? Or he said, it is not my purpose, saith the Spirit of grace, to make you happy. Whoa, we've been hearing that, have we? On the paradox. It is my purpose to conform you to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. For many are seeking happiness and their hearts desire to be filled, but your heart will only be filled in me, saith the Spirit of grace. Therefore, your happiness is subsequential to your obedience. That's strong, people. Know this, that if you will follow me and raise up and declare yourself one to cross the field and follow me at all times, know this, then will your joy spring forth, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Now I would, this is only suggestions, I would coin something that is that mammoth, that Goliath that's across the field, and I wouldn't make it hard to say. Just like I said, I like worship songs that you repeat. Listen, when you're getting your brains beat out by the devil, that's not a time to sing a song that has like 50 stanzas in it, you know, and like, oh, you know, I can't remember, was it the seraphims or the cherubims that was around the throne, and all, you know, and I'm not degrading that. I'm just saying, get one mantra and keep saying it, and keep saying it, and keep saying it, and keep saying it, and keep saying it. Don't worry about flowery words. You just got to get the devil out of your presence. You got to get him off of you. And so coin that Goliath by, if it's pain or suffering or whatever, or something, and that's never a person. That's not your husband. It's not your wife. It's something there that is that's trying to destroy you. And just the word he said in this to say, and just talk to it and say, you know what? You know, I'm crossing the field to you. You're not coming to me. I'm going to cross the field to you. I call you dead in the name of Jesus. I call you destroyed. I call your head cut off. And then, you know, when our saying, don't talk about it to other people. Don't talk about it to other. You know, Candy and I were listening the other day. We like this one. It's not a religious show, please. Okay, it's everything's okay. It's play some oldies. If there's a bad one comes on, I turn it off. But it's Intelligence for Life. They have found, scientists, not preachers, have found that the more you talk, anybody that's having an ailment, a situation, the more you talk about that, the worser it gets. They put some electrodes on people's brains, and they found out the part that actually will light up when pain is there. And then they went through, they did a survey, and they had people talk about their pain and their suffering, and it would light up even when, like, say for instance, they didn't have that pain. If they just talked about it, that the simulation, or it would assimilate, their part of their brain would light up, and they would begin to feel the effects of it. The more you talk about your pain and your suffering, they said you can. Science is saying you can make your physical body, those things that are ailing you, you can make it worse by talking about it. Now, you got to describe it to a doctor, or you might have to say it one or two times to a prayer partner. But listen, I run into people all the time, and people that I love, 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 love. They will, you can spend an hour with them, and about 45 minutes of that is them talking about what they're going through and what their body is fighting, and what they're, and they don't even realize it anymore. That you can spend the whole time that you've been talking to them, it's all, and here's the thing, one of the reasons why they don't realize it is they chase it. I never was a drinker, but I understand if you drink something and then chase it down, you got to have chasers. They think, and I'm not condemning them or anybody, they think that if they talk about all that stuff and then chase it with, but I'm healed, okay, but His Word says, they think if they chug-a-lug that tracer, that they've nullified that 45 minutes or continual talk of an hour of talking sickness. That doesn't do it. In fact, that chaser is not really faith at all anyway. It makes them feel good that they chased it with a word of faith, and they talked for an hour. It just hurts all the time. Listen, I understand that. And the people that you love will realize that. I pray for so many of you in here that I know are going through physical battles. And I don't ever necessarily tell you, but I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. I'm believing God for that to change. And if you need me, please let me know. Please tell me. But I can tell you that even science is saying you sitting there talking about it for an hour is making it worse. It's making it worse. Just tell somebody, tell the right people, the responsible people, and just hush. Well, that's not just physical things. That's children, marriages, finances. If you talk about it, even if you chase it, you talk about how bad it was, and then chase it with but oh, brother, I'm standing on the Word of God. No, you're not. You just chased it with something to make you feel like you were standing on the Word of God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Okay. The prophecy, I hold back for a season. And have you ever wondered why God is holding back revival? Some of us have, no, the flesh and the devil is. Well, God is partly. He is partly. The Lord says unto those who consider, this is the next one, yourself weak, you are strong. Those that consider yourself having no ability, in fact, the Lord says, you've heard these words of these elders. And in that morning, if you were to have been here, actually, this is the same morning, November 8th, I prophesied, the Lord prophesied, not me, but the Lord prophesied through me, and then other elders, male and female, had something to say right after that. And the Lord said concerning, having heard these words of the elders, and said, this is what people might say, but I'm a far cry from where they're at. But the Lord says, I can close the distance immediately. You're there already. All I need is the willingness of your heart, says the Lord. I cannot in myself. I don't even think I'm willing in myself. This is the person speaking. But I will turn my will over to you to help me, that you'd change my will into yours. This in saying thy will be done causes miracles to take place and adjustments inside of you, that there is an equality among the brethren. Did you see that? The Lord said, if you'll just say that, thy will be done, God. Just do your will inside of me. None are asleep, because we just heard something saying, listen, many of you are asleep, and he differentiates. He does say, there is, but he's given us a position to say, if you will say, I'm not asleep, I am with the Lord, I'm awakened. He says, none are asleep, but all are awakened into righteousness and put on the garment of praise and walk in the beauty of holiness and the fear of the Lord and call those things that I have desired to come upon this region. I could, even at this level that you're at, bring a strong outpouring. I could, but if I did, many would be destroyed. I'm waiting for those who are asleep to be awakened, because you would be caught up in the joy and yet still never dealing with your flesh. And when that comes, there will be a refiner's fire like never before. There will be the days not to be feared, but such glory will be on the church. There will be days as Ananias and Sapphira, when judgment will come immediately, and it will not be because of the harshness or hatred. You will not look at me and say, oh, I don't know him, meaning I don't know God, or he says, I don't know that God. No, you will know me from the least to the greatest, but you'll know this as you progress in this. It is not you. There are none of you that are ready in and of yourself, but I bring you forward, and those that are asleep, I will awaken you to righteousness so that you are prepared. You know, there. I want to read this last couple verse or lines here. The Lord said there's a fear coming back on the church, and a reverential fear, and the Lord is telling us in that. So I'm telling you, go into these things and get something that's specifically for you, and say these things. Say, I'm not asleep, I'm awakened, but the whole church is going to be awakened so that the consciousness of the Lord is going to be so strong that when judgments and things do start happening, that we're not going to go, oh, I don't know that God. Is he mad or is he... Listen, Uzzah, the Lord said, don't touch the ark. Don't touch it. I appreciate you got it on a cart and you're moving it. David went and got it from the Philistines, and they were moving it, and only the Levites were supposed to touch it. And I know the man's in heaven. God didn't kill him and send him to hell. He just told him, that's something, don't touch it. And the box or the ark started to fall off the cart, and he just jumped up and tried to, because he was walking along with it, he tried to steady it, and he knew he wasn't supposed to touch it. Man, he just hit the ground, hit the dirt just like that. Dead as a wedge, dead as a doornail. And David was like, the Bible said David feared the Lord that day. David was like, I had never seen this part of God before. Listen, God's going to bring us into every part of him so we see every part of him. The biggest part of him is love. That's everything else comes down from love. But judgment's in there too. Okay? Wow, we're just covering a whole lot of stuff today, aren't we? So that nothing in the days ahead will destroy you. Nothing will destroy you. I hold back for a season until I can come in fullness. But I'm shaking that which can be shaken, and I'm stirring that which can be stirred, saith the Spirit of grace. Okay, we got to move on here. What burns in the bush? Quickly, rapidly, you're reaching as a body. You're reaching as a body over all, a point of no return. Passing through a doorway headed somewhere to happen. So much has been added to you. Some won't be able to make the journey, but as an enlarged body, as those who have eldered themselves, you've made the eldership to yourself, even though there has not been an ordination. These younger elders and older elders, and there are younger elders and older elders and in between elders, but all of those that are growing into eldership and will soon be able to teach or able to teach others the righteousness of the Lamb and the standing they have in Him. You'll be separated as a city on a hill because you've pulled back out of the flesh and because you've taught a doctrine that abstains from the flesh. War is come fighting against you. Your flesh against the eldership going forward. The war has come fighting against you, your flesh, and the eldership going forward is what I believe it's say how he's saying it. That somehow they would hopefully, he, that's the enemy, he hoped that there would come a mixture of doctrine and a mixture of thought. But I stand as a witness, saith the Spirit of grace, that all is steady, and all is firm. And I will continue you on this foundation, saith the Spirit of grace. And because of it, and because of it, you'll stand as a city set on a hill when others do not have answers, and all chaos around them and the church that embraces the flesh will then be willing to say, I am willing to lay down what I once adhered to and loved in the flesh. Isn't that wonderful? First of all, thank God we're getting an affirmation from the Holy Spirit to say, you got a real good grade presently on the doctrine of abstaining from the flesh. And the other thing, too, is that he warned us, or that he told us in the past, and the enemy would always like to do this, is he'd like to cause a mixture. He'd like for me to stand here and say it's okay to do some things when it's not okay. And I don't need to ever say it harsh or mean or, but here, the Lord is saying, because of your stand, you're getting a good passing grade, and as a result of it, the church at large is going to be able to look at us and see where He's got us going, and say, you know what, I'm miserable, even though I've been taught that I can do this in other churches. I'm miserable. What would get me peace of mind? Well, this will get you peace of mind. And the Lord says we're going to be teachers of this. He says, I'm willing to lay that down. This is the heart of the person. To find the peace and the power that you folks are willing or are walking in, saith the Spirit of grace. So the reward is my presence. I won't come to justify you as if to say in a debate. And then what he's saying is, I'm not making you wiser so that you can trump in a debate. But my essence, my very being on you, will be the witness to those in the last days to say, wait, they taught a doctrine that separated themselves from the flesh and went into God. And God stands with them, and God adorns them with grace and adorns them with peace in the midst of persecution. And God gives them power to do the works of the apostles. What is this? What is this fire? What is this bush? What burns in this bush? I must turn to this bush. You remember how Moses was on the mountain? I get this picture when I'm hearing this, the Lord speak. I must turn to this bush and find what is in it. What is in this bush, saith the Spirit of grace. And when they turn to find out the fire that is in you, they will also be indoctrinated with the grace that I've come and indoctrinated you with, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So learn patience, enjoy the ride, stay steady, even the persecution, enjoy yourself in the midst of it, even the things that are contradictory to my word presently against your life concerning finances, healings of your bodies, these things will come online and they will happen. Just like I said in the day and the hour that you think not the Son of Man cometh, I do things unexpectedly. Part of it is when the fullness of time comes and the maturity of the word develops inside you strong enough, your soul may not have gotten the message that the dawn is about to arise and something is about to come out and something about to appear that you did not expect in the natural. Let me just pause right there for just a second. The Lord is saying this. All these things that you're believing for is going to come online. It's going to happen. But don't take the witness of the soul or even like the expectation, like, you know what? This is the way I'm getting it. When you get it home and you start going through it, let the Lord start being a commentary to you. One of the ways I'm seeing this is that sudden things are going to start taking place. And even when you did not, because like sometimes there'll be an improvement, you know, like, okay, how can I say, like my body's starting to feel a little bit better in this area. I like that. That's a progression. And it kind of helps my faith when I can see a progression. But the Lord is saying that even when you don't, when your soul is not getting that progression witness, keep just staying steady because it is just going to happen no matter what. And then the other part I like about this is, and I hadn't rehearsed this. This is just God, and I just love God for it. He's going to talk about surprises here. He says, things that you did not expect in the natural, but in the spirit, it comes to fullness. It comes to 100%. So your soul sometimes is not expecting what your spirit is about to bloom in, what it's about to blossom in. And then the other thing is why sometimes it just happens unexpectedly is what he's saying. I have to tell you as a father, I love to surprise you with good things. I love to bring about good things in the order of time. And many of you that are fighting battles in different areas in your body and in different areas of your family and finances and a lot of different things where it doesn't seem like there's hardly any inch of change and just hardly any inch of change. Know that it'll just come about and you'll just wake up or you'll just turn or you'll just walk into another room or take another step or get out of a car or get into a car and something will happen in your body, something will happen in your mind, something, an adjustment will take place and you'll know that you know that you know that you know that you know that it's absolutely done. It's a done deal. It's an absolutely sealed. Praise the Lord. There's a lot of stuff to war with, isn't there? A lot of stuff to war with. And I love this next one. This is stop mentioning those persuasive words. Stop mentioning those persuasive words. What persuasive speech have you been hearing that's telling you you have not progressed? You've judged your own actions by your own actions instead of by the word of God. Truth is truth is meant to be believed, not always felt. My brothers and sisters, it's always meant to be believed and not felt. Who lied to you and told you that you have not gained any ground? Who lied to you and told you that you have not progressed in the Spirit? Judge all things according to righteousness and holiness. All things are to be judged by righteousness and holiness and never by the operation that operation is not of me. And you're dead to which is in the flesh. Some we may have a few typos that says flash, but it's flesh. All things are accomplished and fulfilled and done in the Spirit in the holies of holiness or holies of holies. Who told you that it was not going to work? Who told you that you were not going to finish? No, what you heard was persuasive words out of your flesh. Our victory is in the Spirit. All words are judged in the Spirit. All words are fulfilled in the Spirit. Truth is in the Spirit. Truth saturates and transforms your spiritual mind. Quit speaking those things of the rhetoric. I love that. Of the rhetoric of the flesh. Of the persuasive speech that makes so much sense out of the logic that lies in your flesh. Cast those thoughts and those words to the side and begin to speak that which is truth. Remember, the truth is to be believed and not always felt. Isn't that powerful? Truth is to be believed and not always felt. Because you don't feel truth, that does not mean that it does not exist. Truth is to be believed and confessed and lived out and not always felt. So who told you that you were not going to make it? Who told you that your marriage was not going to work? Who told you that your children were not going to make it? Who told you this? But yea, that came from the persuasive speech that lives in your flesh. All is fulfilled in the Spirit, says the Spirit of the Lord. It is all fulfilled in the Spirit. Cast apart those persuasive words and stop repeating them. Stop repeating persuasive words that live in your flesh. That operation has been put to death. You live in the Spirit. You are a holy, righteous creation in me. You are a holy, righteous new creation in me. You are a holy, righteous new creation in me, fulfilled in the Spirit. Stop mentioning those persuasive words. I love the way the Holy Spirit said this. The rhetoric that comes from the flesh, says the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah! There's so much of all those prophecies to be gleaned. We have one recently. I checked my email here. That came earlier this week. I didn't get a chance to be attached to this. It is a word to all of us. It's a word to the intercessors, because I believe all of us that have joined ourselves to this ministry that are really doing the work of it are intercessors. The Lord said, step it up, intercessors, to step it up. He needs our mouth to speak forth for people's lives to be changed, to speak for His plans and His purposes, for the kingdom to be on earth as it is in heaven. Holiness, holiness, stop playing church. Have a pure heart. Step into holiness. It's simply yielding yourself, your members of your body to the Lord. Yes, it's war. Yes, it's a fight between the Spirit and flesh, flesh and spirit. But yield to the Spirit, not to the flesh. For you can be holy, for I am holy, because I have already decreed and declared, be ye holy, for I am holy, so you can be holy. It's your choice. It's each one's choice to say yes to the Lord, yes to the Spirit, and no to the flesh. Pray till Christ be formed in you, and then pray, speak. The Holy Spirit says, pray till Christ be formed in you, and in them, pray, speak my word over situations, circumstances. It's my word that brings life and life more abundantly, the life of Christ, the life in Christ. Life in Christ, therefore, life in us, life in you, and life in me is the life of Christ. Yield to the Spirit of the Lord in you. Hallelujah. Wonderful. Glory. We're going to end. I mean, these were edifying. And we're going to end today giving thanksgiving to the Lord. We won't be here Wednesday night. Of course, look on the board going out for scheduled services. There's a lot that changes during the holidays. Basically, all you need to know is that there's no Sundays that we're off. If you say, well, I didn't show up Sunday because I didn't know if you were... We're not taking off any Sundays, okay? There are a couple of Wednesday nights, one of them being this week. And all Friday nights up until January 8th we're not having them until January 8th, okay? Which is just right around the corner. It's amazing this year is gone already, isn't it? It's just amazing. We had our last Friday night this past week, and I can't believe, I don't know where it went. But Thursday, celebrate Thanksgiving with a godly aspect, with true Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving was not designed for football, thank God. Thanksgiving was designed for us for the purpose of Thanksgiving. Did you hear that? For true Thanksgiving. I don't know how many of you know. I mean, I don't know the foundation of it. Many of you do, but maybe you forget. You're forgotten. 100-something people. Now, this is just real quick before we stand up and worship God. 100-something people got on a little boat called the Mayflower. It's like 103, 105, I don't know. And then there was like 30 crewmen. And they crossed the Atlantic Ocean. It took several weeks. And they were leaving. The year was 1620, and they were leaving England. No, this is not the discovery of America. That happened like 100 or something years prior. That's with Christopher Columbus, you know, the Pinta, Santa Maria, and Niña, or whatever. Is that how you say that? Those three ships. And actually, he's not really the one, technically. It's America Paspucius, or however you say his name. And so there's a real good argument that the New England area was not the first. I mean, there were Europeans that they say really the first place, very, very possibly the first place that Europe ever settled. We know that the Spanish were here in Florida. And so, oh yeah, yeah. But really, if you study that, there's always that argument between, you know, Cape Cod or St. Augustine in that area of where people really first settled. And there's just as a legitimate argument that Florida really was the first place of America was ever settled. But that's beside the point. The point is this: those people got on a ship, and they were fleeing. The reason why they left, you can call them Puritans, Pilgrims, Separatists, whatever they were, what they wanted to do was to come here and worship God. That's what they wanted to come, and worship God. The Catholic Church, which evolved into the Church of England, there was still the Catholic Church, but then the Church of England was persecuting these people because they wanted to worship God freely. And they said, we know that there's another land. We know that there's another world. We'll go to it, fight peril, whatever. And they did. They got on a ship, and they come across several weeks, months, landed. They were shooting for Virginia. They landed at Plymouth. They left a place called Plymouth in England. And so they named it Plymouth, Plymouth Rock, when they got to New England. New England, of course, you know, is just... They left Old England and came and they said, "This we'll call this the New England." When they got to Plymouth and they said, okay, they got there just about this time of year in December, 1620. And when they got there, the cold and everything and that, they wintered right there in the ship, most of them, because they couldn't even establish a plantation on land. Over half, children, women, everybody, over half of them died. Over half of them died. In the spring, they met an Indian called Squanto. The Wampano Indians actually befriended them, and he began to teach them how to basically do some farming, hunt. They got out of their boats. They got out of the boat, the Mayflower, established a plantation, lived through the summer, planted crops. This Indian taught them, and the Indians... became, you know, they were friendly Indians, thank God, because with, you know, less than 50 people or so left. They could have wiped them out pretty easy. And so they lived through that. The survivors lived through that winter, and they planted crops, and Squanto taught them how to farm and how to survive. And then their first harvest, which was in the fall of that next year, or the 1621, that harvest that they had, they gathered themselves together, and they gave praise to God. They read out of the book of Leviticus, and they gathered the Indians that helped them out of the Wampano tribe and said, come. And the day, there was a three-day event. The first Thanksgiving was a three-day event. And they sent out what they call fowlers. They had four men they sent out to go shoot turkeys, birds, and they actually harvested several. They shot five deer. They actually, it's all written down, they shot five deer to bring back to this harvest. And the Indians ate with them. They read out of the book of Leviticus the Feast of Tabernacles, and that Feast of Tabernacles, like in verse 19 or whatever, it talks about it, but then when you get on down to 35, it says that Israel rejoiced at the harvest. And so the pilgrims were reading this, and they were giving glory to God, and they were thanking God that God had brought them to a new world so that they could worship the true God of the heavens, and that God had caused them to survive, and they were thankful. Many of them had placed their children in the ground. Many of them, of their husbands, had died, and they had put them in the ground, but they stood there on that day and began to worship God. Glory to God. We have a heritage here in America, people. And it's not about, you know, we need to teach our children. And you got something to be thankful for. Every single one of us in here today. Now, I'm talking about even besides the blood of Jesus. I mean, if you had nothing else, but listen, if you're hearing the sound of my voice, you've got something to be thankful for. Well, this don't work or that don't work. Listen, my ears don't work real good. I can't hear. Well, can you see? Yeah, well, then give God glory for it. I can't see, but I can hear. Oh, well, give God glory for it. I mean, $1 million would not buy my son-in-law's and my daughter's here today. But if your children are not here and they're running the bars, give glory to God, because the day is coming. They're going to come in. Well, I can't find nothing to... No, listen. If you can't find nothing if you started listing it, there are thousands of things. You could have been born a Helen Keller. You could have born... Can you imagine? They thought that she was mentally... it's not the best word. Mentally just so incapable. They just thought she was just some crazy. She was a highly intelligent woman, but she couldn't see from birth. She couldn't hear from birth. Can you imagine a baby that can't hear or see? Of course, then they can't talk. And your cognizant ability is so... it's a learned trait. You've got intelligence in there, but mama's got to say things to you. Come here, baby. Come here, baby. You got to hear that. You got to see. Come here. You got to see all those things. And they just thought that she was just an absolute idiot, until a woman began to work with her and unlock her brilliance. She was a brilliant. And sad thing is, I mean, you know, no hands were ever laid on her, and she got... But listen, this woman began to write books, and she became brilliant, not hearing, not seeing. Can you imagine? But yet she became thankful for what... I'm not teaching you to live with what you've got. I'm teaching you, in the midst of what you've got, to be thankful and say, my God, I can stand, I can walk. If I can't walk, if I'm in a wheelchair, at least I can raise my hands. I can't raise both of them. Can I raise one of them? Yes. Can I breathe? Yes. Can I find the list, because it's inexhaustible. When you find someone, I can't hardly hold my head up. There's nothing to be thankful for. You selfish individual. You selfish individual. I'm going to commit suicide. Now, here's the deal. And there may be people in here that your family has done this. And I understand. It's an awful thing because somebody, and I'm not saying there are Christians, I believe, that are in heaven that have done that because their minds go on. But suicide is the last and most greatest act of selfishness that can possibly be ever created on the planet. But because you cared, that person cared not of all the pain and the suffering that they would leave as a heritage to their children and their children's children. If God could have been where he was at, supposed to be in their life, they'd have just thanked God because they had one more breath to breathe. And one more breath gave them the opportunity to say, Jesus. And if you say Jesus long enough, you'll walk out of whatever you're in. You'll walk out of whatever you're in. So when you've talked to people, sometimes you realize how lame their excuses are. And people that are not in church, well, it's I don't, and they did, and they did. Listen, all that's just lame. I'm not, they're not here because somebody else offended them or somebody did. That's just, there's bad words that you can say for that stuff. But that's what it is. That's what it is. It's all just, see, yeah. I know. Somebody else is keeping you from serving God, right? Going to church. Somebody else. I know somebody else did it. I know. But my God, boy, do we have a lot to be thankful for. Well, I don't like my husband, my wife. Well, do you like your cat or dog? Give glory to God for that cat or dog that sits there and, man, they're friendly to me. And I love you. Hey, I love you. I thank God Pastor Bronk loves me. I love you. I do. I sincerely love you. I praise you, God. I worship you. I'm the world would call it, I'm the luckiest man on earth. I'm the blessed. And you know, the more you do that, praise God, the more you'll just find it thankful. Those pilgrims, they weren't worried about, you know, whose football this and whose football that. They were just, my God, we survived. I put 3 kids in the ground, but God, I'm survived because I got one, and I'm going to take care of that one. And I praise you, Lord. We're going to live in this new land. Hallelujah. So what are you got to thankful for? If Thursday you just got a pack of bologna and you can afford to get a can of cranberry, slice that cranberry, slice that bologna, and worship God. I mean, just worship God as if you're sitting down to a meal with kings. I'm not exaggerating a bit. I mean, just worship God for everything you got. See, if you bellyache about what you don't have, it's going to be hard for you to get any more. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Let's just remember Thanksgiving is going to be a day of Thanksgiving. Remember tonight at 6 o'clock. Why don't you just lift those hands and just praise God. Father, we just worship you. Lord, we thank you that we have so much. Lord, we thank you that we have so much to be thankful for. First and foremost, that we're going to heaven. I thank you for every drop of blood that fell from his body, beginning first in the garden. And Lord, I don't know how much that you dropped in the garden, but there was a lot that was spilled in Pilate's courtyard as you were beaten. I thank you for every drop that was dropped off there. And then when they took you to Golgotha and you hung there between heaven and earth, every drop was for me, Lord. I get to go to heaven. I get to spend eternity, and all my babies and grandbabies and children are going to go with me. I praise you, God. I praise you. All my offspring, anything that Candy and I have created, gets to come to be with heaven with us. And I give you all the praise and all the glory and all the praise for it, Jesus. Hallelujah, Father. Lord, I thank you for all these wonderful people. Lord, I just pray that you'll bless them, Lord. I pray that they will be thankful during this time of harvest, Lord, this time of thanksgiving. And I pray that, Lord, there'll be no foul words in our mouth, no complaining, no backbiting, nothing but just a word of thanksgiving for everything. And Lord, we won't concentrate on what we don't have, but we'll concentrate on what we do have. And we won't concentrate on the parts of our body that need to be healed. We'll thank you for the parts that already are healed and walking in health, and just keep up the word of faith speaking to those parts. Lord, we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory, and we thank you for it. In the precious name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. We appreciate you. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. We'll see you next Sunday. And some of you, we'll see you tonight at 6.